Matt Berger alongside Matt Rocchio. John G. Monty Rudolph behind the dials. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Is there such a thing as a happy Tuesday? Tuesday's one of those days that it has no feel. Like, it feels like a Monday. It feels like a Friday. Feels like a Saturday or a Sunday, but Tuesday has no feel. No one walks around going, you know what, it feels like Tuesday.
See, Tuesday feels so different for me now because of our schedule here.
Well, yeah, because we're not going to be on tomorrow.
Yeah,
obviously, so Tuesday here feels a little like Thursday, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's like a little mini Thursday.
Yeah.
Because my Wednesdays are my Wednesdays are so small now.
How are they so? Well, yeah, because now after the hard line's over,
yeah, then done.
You can go hit the gym or.
Literally, every Wednesday now, I wake up and just go, man, I need to get a second job. Because Wednesdays make me feel the most like just a pile of nothing.
Like a pile of nothing.
I'm going to go to work for 3 hours.
Oh, well,
I feel useless.
Then you should be creating all kinds of content, man. You should be blowing up my phone going, Berger, I got this idea and this idea and this idea and this idea.
When do you think I come up with all these segment ideas?
The one segment idea you have is Take Time.
That's not the only. I have multiple segment ideas. They just haven't been able to crystallize because there's no sports to incorporate them into. I want to do the trivia, but the problem with doing like the trivia game is like there's no singular thing to like build it around.
Well, you just make it sports trivia. I mean, I know we're ripping off the 4 o'clock Friday that they do on 101.
That's true, but at the same time, Giamatti's not a huge sports guy, so I'm trying to incorporate. And again, the name of the game is the name
okay,
of the
but
game,
like the whole fun the of name it is of the game answers is, that he may give.
Yeah, but the name of the game isn't sports trivia and humiliation. It's history, culture, and humiliation. So I have to get a little bit. I got to get a reason to find a theme around my history and culture questions.
That was part of the fun about doing the trivia contest with TJ Weber was because you didn't know what kind of answer he was going to give. That's what made it entertaining. If TJ was great at it, then it wouldn't be as entertaining.
It's not as much fun to do it to Giamatti as it was to TJ for some reason.
Well, because you know, Giamatti's got those sleepy, kind of sad looking
eyes. I think it's that. That's it. Like, he looks at me and like I feel like I just kicked a puppy. And that's not okay.
You can lay it on next time.
By the way, I also came across this. It's been racking my brain because we call him Giamatti, but he looks nothing like Paul Giamatti.
Nothing like Paul
and
Giamatti.
And so I've been watching something. And every time I like stop watching it, like it hits me. I'm like, Giamatti kind of looks like a couple characters in the show. But then, when I try to remember it the next day, it's not there, and I couldn't remember it. I finally remembered what it was. And do you know who Giamatti looks like? Do you know we take Giamatti right now? We bring the mustache to a little bit of a fuller extent. Do you know who Giamatti is? He's Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, I can see it a little bit.
If you give him a bigger mustache, he looks like, maybe not actually Pablo Escobar, but he looks a lot like the guy who plays Pablo Escobar in Narcos. And if it's not him, you look like, who's the guy from Boogie Nights? The short dude.
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No, the short dude. The Latin guy.
The Aladdin guy.
The Latin guy from Boogie Nights.
Luis Guzman.
Kind of looks like Luis Guzman.
Giamatti, are you?
I've got to look up all these people.
No, Giamatti, are you Latin at all?
50 Irish, 50 German.
I'm just saying, you could pull off a Pablo Escobar for Halloween.
Here's what you sound like.
I might do that.
I'm just saying he could do it.
Here's what you sound like. You sound like H. John Benjamin. I know I've told you that before.
Yes, he does.
H. John Benjamin.
Yeah, the guy who did Archer. He does Bob's Burgers.
You told me that before.
Yeah, you sound exactly like him.
Come on. I could see that.
I think it's the scruff and the double chin. That's the reason why you think he looks like him.
I think you can pull off a Pablo Escobar look.
There you go. There's someone you want to look like.
I think you can pull off. Especially, I think it's more so the guy who's playing him in Narcos. Look at the guy who's playing him in Narcos.
Okay,
Do you see it now?
That's a little closer.
I can see that.
Yes, it's a little bit closer. It's the guy who's playing him in Narcos. That's Giamatti.
Giamatti, Halloween is a little over 3 months away. So you start growing that stash now.
The big cat mustache.
The big cat mustache, that push brew mustache. So by the time that Halloween rolls around, you can look like Pablo Escobar and you will make Rocky's life.
I'll
apparently.
Do it. I'll do it.
Rocky, whatever Halloween party you're going to go to, Rocky will be your plus one.
I'm telling you, it's been racking my brain because we call him Giamatti. He doesn't look like Giamatti
at all. I have no idea why the cat called you that.
I think it was their lazy attempt of trying to give me a nickname. It's like, we got to give this kid a nickname.
And so I had to find, and so I've been
the cat probably watched like Sideways the night before exactly. And just immediately thought of
I've been
Paul
racking
Giamatti.
My brain trying to figure out who he looks like. And I think I finally figured out what the actor who plays.
The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line also available at 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter at 590 show, at @Matt_Berger, at @Rock590, and at @JohnRudolph22. Joining us at 620 will be Matt Whitener from YardBarker.com and FanSided.com. And then at 7 o'clock, Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com and the Hall of Fame show on the NFL channel on SiriusXM. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. Yes, Pablo. That's a better nickname for
you.
I
was going to say, soon to be Pablo Escobar 22.
I'm just going to call you Pablo. Yeah, I think from now on.
I can live with that.
Yeah, Pablo. I kind of like that better than Giamatti, to be honest with you. As much as I love Giamatti.
I think I'm not like, Italian at all.
You're about as Italian as you are Latin.
Yeah.
But I do like Pablo. I like that nickname for you.
Ironically enough, the guy who plays Pablo Escobar in the show is Brazilian with a German first name.
Really?
Well, imagine that.
His first name is Wagner.
Wagner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Gisele Bundchen, Brazilian, and she looks like she's from Hamburg.
That's a good point.
Very excited to announce that our friend who was in with us last night, Lindsay Eversmeyer, the owner, GM, and head coach of Fire and Ice SC, she is within striking distance of her $10,000 goal. To help fund her team's flight to San Diego to compete in the WPSL Championship. And that is thanks to everybody out there who donated, and especially in particular to Tom Strunk and Jim Cavanaugh of STLFC. Thank you very much if you fellows are listening. I know she really did appreciate it. She's very happy. She is like a couple hundred dollars away from meeting her goal.
Yeah,
and when she got here last night, she wasn't even close.
And the best part about that is that definitely proved to me that Jim Cavanaugh listens to our show.
That's
but
what it is.
But how about
so
that?
So, Jim Cavanaugh, I mean, thank you very much.
For Cavanaugh and Strunk to come down like that, Cavanaugh, obviously, the man, one of the big names behind the MLS bid, and Strunk is the, I can't remember what his exact title is. Let me grab it here. But I believe he's either the president or the CEO of STLFC. And so, for those guys to jump in, talk after, you know, making their comments that they've made about building
finally soccer, backing it up,
building soccer in St. Louis, but also how they were talking about, you know, they were trying to bring a men's team and everything like that. They were talking about how they wanted to also build the women's side. And so, to see them build the women's side, also building just the base of St. Louis soccer, that's backing up comments they've made. That's backing up everything they put behind. And more importantly, especially coming from a guy like Jim Cavanaugh, for everyone talking about they wanted to see those guys put in, you know, some heft when they were trying to ask for tax money. This is showing that Cavanaugh wasn't just a businessman trying to get a better investment by getting city money.
He really cares about the sport of soccer.
This is somebody who cares about the sport of soccer, yes. Cares about building it up for the good of St. Louis and the good of the kids in St. Louis. And I think these are the kind of things you got to do if you maybe hope to make a second run at MLS bid in the future. And again, like I said yesterday, if somehow promotion and relegation came to the American Soccer League, It would be beautiful, especially for a city like St. Louis that loves soccer but is just looking for a reason to root for it. Because I'm sorry, it's just hard to find a reason to root for an NASL team. We just in St. Louis, we've just not in St. Louis in America, we've just become obsessed with only the top leagues. No one cares who the best, you know, G League team, which was the D League. No one cares.
Now the Gatorade League,
no
in the
one,
NBA.
As nice as it is when they hit really well, do you really care how far Memphis goes in the minor league playoffs? Do you really care in the end of the day? No, you don't.
But if you hear the story, you'll kind of pause.
Yeah,
like, huh.
Exactly. But you don't follow it every day. You don't care. Like, you know, if STLFC won the NASL championship, that'd be really cool, but it wouldn't be the same thing as them being an MLS team and winning the top league.
Absolutely.
And so if you even had the potential that years from now they could get in the MLS, and once they get there, years from then, they could compete at the top levels of it, even just having that potential completely, I think, would change how people looked at STLFC. It'd be wonderful if it's there. I mean, promotion and relegation isn't coming to MLS at the earliest for another 4 years. So
it's not a bad idea
from there,
though.
But I mean, it would help. I mean, it would help the soccer scene, not only in St. Louis specifically, and obviously why I'm talking about it a lot, but also we just talk about the view of soccer in America. It's Everyone, I think everyone wants it to be bigger because then every 4 years, the World Cup becomes more than just a spectator event for all of us. It becomes something that we're involved in, like the Olympics, even more so, though, because it's the Olympics. It's the World Cup of soccer.
You don't think people in this country are involved in the World Cup?
No, they are, but it's we all make jokes. We all know that we're not getting past the round of 16, realistically. Everyone knows America's
getting... There's still a lot of people that hold out hope, though.
They do, but everyone's realistic about the fact that America's getting out of their group stage if they're lucky, and then they might make it to the round of 16, but they're not making it past there. I'm just saying is that having a mindset where... you could make an impact on the World Cup, talking about going into the semifinals and stuff like that. That's where it'd be fun to see how America would react.
I remember 2014 when the U.S. men's national team was playing Belgium in the World Cup, and it was kind of like a late afternoon game. The office building that I worked at is empty, and everybody went to the bar across the street to watch the men's national team.
And again, that was round of 16. Imagine if we were talking about a semifinal game.
Oh, the place would go crazy. Everybody'd be going nuts.
It wasn't. I mean, just the media and the cultural penetration of soccer wasn't at what it was now in '96. And when we beat England, obviously I wasn't very old, but everything I hear about it is people went freaking nuts. People did not shut up about soccer in America for the next year or so because they rode a high of beating a team like England for literally to the point where professional soccer. In America, whatever league it was back then in the late 90s, it was getting time on ESPN that it had never gotten before solely because the national team beat England one time. So, I mean, if you talk about how much the overall interest in the sport could come from a big run in a World Cup, I think it could be huge, especially nowadays.
Soccer has been the fastest growing sport in the nation now for a very long time. For a very long time. I think right now, I forgot to ask Lindsay this last night, that right now soccer has to be the biggest it's ever been in the United States. I don't think anybody can question that. Soccer is bigger now in the United States than it's
Again,
ever been.
I wonder if that late 90s point when there was still a viable, because that was the last time when there was still a league, a pro league as viable as there is now. So when they had a pro league that was relatively viable, it was enough to get the World Cup in the United States, and they won a game in the World Cup in the United States over a big team. I'd say the late 90s, it was big. But again, it faded because the pro league didn't last, and the national team didn't do anything to add on to it, so it faded very hard. But now you have...
But what happened, though? In the late 90s, early 2000s, what happened, though? The women won.
That's true, they did.
The women won the Gold Cup.
Well, that was big.
They won, but I mean, you're right, and I'm sure that actually kind of helped a little bit to kind of extend how pumped people were about it now, and you kind of have it the opposite way. The women are winning now, and we're hoping the men can get into it, but I think with the way the MLS is now, you have a base that the sport couldn't fall back on after the World Cup. With the men and the,
I think part of the reason,
women winning. You didn't have that base because that league folded very quickly.
It did, but I think the part of the reason why soccer is so big now is because the world is smaller.
Yeah, you can see. Yeah, you weren't waking up on Saturdays and watching two or three different Bundesliga games in a
row
on basic cable in the late 90s. It wasn't happening. And so, yeah, that's definitely a big thing. I mean, you talk about me. I mean, as a kid who grew up in a soccer haven who wasn't good at soccer, I was never interested until I started watching European again.
Well, I thought you weren't really getting into soccer until you started playing FIFA on...
But playing FIFA is what got me interested into the European game.
Okay.
And my friend, I wouldn't have gotten into FIFA. My friends aren't watching it on Saturday afternoons.
I was going to say, I remember me and my dad, we used to wake up at like 4 in the morning and watch the World Cup games. It was a great time.
Yeah, but Ball and Bottom.
Not a lot of people did that, though.
He said it faded when the men bleeped the bed in 2004.
Yeah, that's absolutely part of it.
A very good point. Yeah, but it was there. I mean, that hype was there from the men beating England and the women winning it all. I mean, talk about up until Mike Jones's tackle, I think what's her name, because it wasn't Mia Hamm.
Brandi Chastain
ripping her shirt off and going into the slide. That might be the first really memorable. I'm trying to think. I mean, the Chastain one for me personally, and things I remember as a little child, the Chastain one is up there with the Elway helicopter and the Mike Jones tackle. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how high the Chastain one is and how much it's burned into my memory. That was a big thing. That was a big moment when she did that. And so I remember that one huge. And so, yeah, he's right, though. It really did fall apart when the national team fell apart. And then by 2004, that league that we're talking about having some success in the mid to late 90s, by 04, that league's gone. And so there wasn't anything for it to fall back on after the national team, as he
MLS
very
been
poetically
around long,
put it.
The MLS has been around, what, 20 years?
Just around that.
Just around 20 years. So, I mean, like...
It came around right when the other one failed in the late
90s. Yeah, so MLS has kind of, you know, survived that swooning, like one of the other leagues has failed. Boy Roy McAvoy texting in, what did you guys think about Stephen A. Smith breaking the news that LeBron wants to beat Kyrie Irving?
So LeBron came out and said that's false.
Yes, he has.
And I'm guessing because LeBron said that earlier today, Stephen A. has responded to LeBron and, calling him out and saying false,
what,
correct?
And what, correct. And what Stephen A. Smith said is that he didn't say that he wanted to do it. He said that he felt like he wanted to do it. So, I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, I know we're kind of parsing words here, but I mean, I think what we talked about this last night with Shane Young, I think what the funny thing is that what Kyrie Irving is doing to LeBron is what LeBron would probably do to Kyrie Irving. And you're finding out today that Chauncey Billups, the reason why he didn't take the GM job, everybody thought it was because Dan Gilbert was being cheap, wasn't paying him enough. It's because he's saying that the future looks bleak for the Cavaliers because he knew about the trade. He knew that Kyrie Irving wanted to get traded, and he knows that LeBron probably has, you know, maybe a foot and a half out the door. And if that's the case, then why on earth would you want to be the GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers? They're almost not even going to be on the NBA map.
Yeah. Now the question becomes, what's Kevin Love thinking? Man, that guy wasted away for 7 years.
Okay, but sure, like
in Minnesota.
But Kevin Love, if he's on that team and he's the best player on that bad team, he's got his money, he's got his championship. I think Kevin Love's going to be okay, and he'll stay there until the contract runs out.
Kyrie Irving can't stand the thought of playing on a 30-win team in Cleveland. Why are we just going to assume that Kevin Love's chill with it?
Oh, I don't think Kevin Love's chill with it at all. But, I mean, to give you what kind of impact that Kevin Love has on that team, that's the reason why, like, no one's really concerned about Kevin Love at all.
Or, I don't know, maybe Kevin Love's like, you know what? I liked it back in the day when I was putting up 40 and 20 games. That was a lot more enjoyable. Even though we were losing, everyone thought I was a lot better than I was.
Well, I think that's the reason why Kevin Love is just going to play out the contract, and then whenever it's up, see what kind of condition the team's in. If the team's in a bad condition, then he's going to go to the West
Coast.
And
I'll call right now.
What's that?
Call right now. Kevin, you know who Kevin Love's playing for in 2019? San Antonio Spurs.
I could see that possibly. I could maybe even see him going to the Clippers too, saying, you know what? At that point, he's going to be like, my career's pretty much well established. I'm just going to play in L.A. because that's where I'm from. Engine Joe's K-Ride Magic, K-Ride Magic Man. Hey, guys, how hot was that reporter Pablo was nailing in Narcos? That's what I'm talking about. I've never seen Narcos, so I'm going to take your word for it.
Valeria Vasquez, I believe her name was in the show.
Okay.
Yeah, she was... Woo! Hello. I mean, good God almighty.
Let's very quickly go to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Baby O joins us. Baby O, we got like 2 minutes before we have to get to Matt Widener.
Hey, Drew, I want to say hello. I'm going to tell you something about this LeBron Kyrie deal. I don't like these reports not one bit. For the simple fact, we have not heard from LeBron or Kyrie Irving themselves. These so-called sources that people have, let's face it, everybody in this so-called camp are not going to be true to you always. So they throw stuff out there, you know, like they're speaking for LeBron or Kyrie, but until I hear from either one of them, you don't know what to believe. You know, they talk about Kyrie's claims that he don't want to play under LeBron's shadow. Until I hear him say that, you know, it's all speculation. And Stephen A. Smith, he has pretty good sources, but let's face it, all the time, everybody is not going to be truthful to you. I don't care how close you are to them. You know, I thought it was kind of irresponsible him putting that report out saying that if LeBron was in front of him, he may want to, you know, beat his ass.
Well, I just think that Stephen A. Smith being sensational, and that's one thing that he does very good well. No one does sensationalism quite like Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, but, you know, being sensational and quoting somebody else who says that, that's the problem. You know, when you're making quotes like that, I would like to get it from the source.
Sure, but okay, but we don't
know whether LeBron actually felt like that.
Well, LeBron has come out and he said, like, no, that's not true, you know, hashtag fake news and all that. The one person we haven't heard from, though, is Kyrie Irving. And I know he's got a Twitter handle, so this day and age, Come on, man. If you're on vacation, all you got to do is just thumb out one tweet and then delete the application on your phone. You don't have to worry about looking at notifications or anything.
Kyrie Irving is being smart, not getting involved in this.
I think he's smart for asking for a trade.
What'd you say?
I think he's smart in asking for a trade.
I see nothing wrong with that, but all the other stuff, you know, because he knows what Cleveland's going to be like in 2 years.
Absolutely. If LeBron goes, absolutely he does.
You know, I know I'm going to run out of time, but let's face it. I'm going to bring up a St. Louis situation. Remember when the Rams were first started, were first put on the market, when Chad Alusha was first wanted to sell the Rams. All the people around here, well, my source is telling me this. My source is telling me that. All those sources lied because when all of a sudden, when Shad Khan came out as a potential buyer, nobody knew about him.
That's true.
Nobody had told.
Nope. Baby O, are you there? It sounds like we lost Baby O. Baby O, I apologize for that. After Matt Widener, we're done with Matt Widener. Call back in, Baby O. I really do want to hear your thoughts. Let's take a commercial break, though, and coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Matt Widener from YardBarker.com and Fansided.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.